Well, hello everyone. As promised, today I'm going to be looking at the desperate and flailing attacks at Rupert Lowe and Restore Britain by the obsequious, disgusting, servile, snivelling wretches known as the Tory boys. These attacks have come all over Twitter. They've been coordinated and they emanate from two publications. But, well, I say publications, they're basically substacks, right? Glorify. I mean, you can call them magazines, but really what they are is substacks where more than one person writes for the substack. One is Pimlico Journal, which, tries to paint itself as the classier of the two. The other is Jacuz, which is a more kind of muck-raking, down-in-the-dirt sleazebag outfit. But they're basically one and the same entity. They work in tandem. All the people know each other. And I have since found out, little birdies have told me, that most of the people involved all live in one household. And I will say less about the sordid and lurid details of their living arrangements. But basically, these people are a kind of small consortium who have taken it upon themselves to pick up the baton for Nigel Farage and Reform, and to attack and try to sow division, try to wreck Rupert Lowe's project. Now, I have already given some open advice to the Restore team, and part of that was to leave a lot of these kind of online arguments to the online, leave it to the influencers, leave it to people who, like me, for example, who, you know, can engage with this sort of thing and not get it, not get enmeshed with the party of which I have no formal involvement, as you know, a sensible and centered, even left wing, neutral commentator. So I'm going to do all of that in a moment, but first I will mention Foundations of Shakespeare out tomorrow officially. If you had your pre-orders, you should have actually received your copies already. I'm told the pre-orders were sent out, but buy it now. I think the first run is very close to being sold out, if it's not sold out already. Fantastic edition. If you own a copy of the course, you will get this for half price if you just send a receipt to the publisher. All right, and lots of people have done that, and I've had a lot of tremendous feedback already. People have said they're only halfway through, but it's a great, great book. This is just some of the comments I've seen in the past couple of days. Buy it now. Less about this and more about now the attacks on Rupert Lowe and Restore by wreckers and double dealers working for the two-bit outfit Pimlico Journal and the even more fleabag-ridden, pathetic outfit known as Jacuz. And what I've noticed they do is they try to leave the more substantive pieces. I mean, substantive is putting it very generously, but they try to put like the big brain stuff in Pimlico, and then they put the kind of more minor league attacks and so on in Jacuz, which is a bit more shitposty and satirical in style. But they are both, I have always despised these two. I spotted them very early on. I always shuddered when people that I know and trust was like, oh yeah, have you seen this in, I mean, not that anybody ever does read them, but you know, in the one or two times I have given almighty slaps to associates who have anything to do with either of these two outfits, and certain characters are now coming out of the woodwork, revealing themselves for the utter kind of subversives that they are, basically the Tory boy scumbags that they are, although the clue is always in the face. They always have the Tory boy physiognomy, which 10 times out of 10 gives these people away. Anyway, let us now get to, so what I've done, really the bit, there's one big article in Pimlico which sets out the attacks, you know, why you as a patriot should back Nigel and reform, not restore, and why restore is a doomed project. Okay, so that is, there's one big article, which I believe, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, was written by a chap called Jack Hadders, who also appears on GB News and is plugged in to many networks. He's been having fights all over social media, but he wrote the main article. And then there's been a slew of other articles in Jacuz, about 5 or 6 or 7 of them, in which they do ludicrously embarrassing things like write an open letter to Elon Musk, pat themselves on the back for, you know, driving a wedge between Rupert Lowe and Elon Musk. That didn't happen, by the way. I mean, hours after they put that piece out, Elon Musk again praised Rupert Lowe. So, you know, their attacks have failed. But the reason I'm putting this out is because I think it's important that somewhere some of these points are rebutted by somebody who is, I'm going to say I'm neutral because I back, you know, I support Rupert, but I'm not actually involved with the project. And I know the scene well enough to kind of, you know, give an honest assessment of whether there's anything of substance there. So there's about 6 or 7 Jacuz articles and one big Pimlico article. What I've done, I've gone through them all and I've summarized, I've kind of tried to ignore all the ad hominem attacks, all the kind of flailing jobber Tory boy offense that they do, you know, the attacks on yours truly and so on. And I've just tried to focus on what is there of substance, okay? And there's a few, there's, you know, maybe 6 or 7 decent points there. So let's get into them. I'm going to have to read from my screen here because I wrote them up in Notepad. You won't be able to see this, but I can't, my memory is not good enough to just know them off the top of my head. So the first thing they do is, and you see, this is how you know these people are dishonest, because they're just trying to grab any old shit, right? The points they make are almost random because they're just trying to do anything possible to drive a wedge between Rupert and his team, to drive a wedge between Rupert and the base, to drive a wedge between various different influencers online, and to sow division and doubt. So what you need to do is, I mean, you can listen to my, you know, point by point rebuttals here, but ideally what you need to do is just in your mind, mark these people off as utter subversives to be ignored. That would be the best thing. But let us actually see what it is they say. Let's see if there's a there, as Dickie Spencer would say, okay? So the hypocritical anti-Tory stance, okay? That is, they claim, and they've tried this on me, they've tried calling me a Tory boy of all things, but they point out that Rupert Lowe has endorsed the Conservatives back in 2019, okay? But then, so did Nigel Farage stood down in 2019. Many, many people, including all of those people who are backing reform now, voted for Boris in 2019. Why? Because they were scared into it, because the threat of Corbyn was too much to bear. This is the classic dialectical trap of the democracy. You know, the enemy's even worse. Kamala's even worse, right? So people were kind of bullied into, in a way, backing Boris in 2019. And back then, of course, nobody could have known the extent of the Boris betrayal, although many warning signs were there. So this is not really a point that Rupert endorsed the Tories in 2019. Neither is it a point that he has worked closely with him in Parliament, that he's praised Kemi Badenoch, that he you know, has connections, that he sits on this or that kind of panel in Parliament. Rupert has to do work in Parliament. For that, he needs cross-party. You know, he's an independent MP at the moment. Now he's got a party, right? But in order to get anywhere, you have to work with other people. And naturally, the people with views close to him are going to be, you know, young members of the Tory party, maybe on this issue. Kemi Badenoch might agree, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not really the big gotcha that they think it is. Also, that there are former Tories in Restore. I mean, how can this be an attack when Farage has appointed, you know, Jendrick and Suella Braverman and, you know, that Iraqi guy and many others, and stuck them in his quote-unquote shadow cabinet. He's literally invited the old Boris party back. Okay, so this is just them trying to do like a mirror. That what they're trying to do is whatever, I mean, it's the equivalent of, and this is the impression I get of a lot of these people, they have an inflated sense of their own intelligence. They are classic midwits, okay? How do I know? Like, for example, the chief editor-in-chief of Pimlico tried, do you remember when I made that video backing Kemi Badenoch to be the Tory leader as part of the ongoing attempt to double-tap the Tories, and Jendrick was on manoeuvres to try to win? I said, look, do not fall for any tricks. Jendrick is not based. He's not based. He's not based. Do you remember? And I used my channel, what small bit of influence I had, to try to back Kemi Badenoch, because I knew that Kemi Badenoch would prove the death knell of the Tory party. Why? Because my aim always has been to destroy the Tory party as we know it. Okay. I did entertain, and I still entertain, prospects of Lowe taking over the rotten husk of it and reforming it in his image, almost like a caretaker manager. Right. Let's say your club has been relegated or you've had a dismal thing. You bring in Jose Mourinho and he fires the entire staff and he brings in all his own players. Right. That's what I had in mind for Rupert Lowe doing. And I can explain more why I still think that something like this will be necessary in the long run because of infrastructure, because of ground game, because of the scale of running for 600 seats. The Tory infrastructure, somebody has to inherit it, okay? Somebody needs to seize the means of production, to put it in Marxist terms, okay? And frankly, a party that's been there for 200 years has this stuff in place. Even though it's rotten, it's clapped out, somebody will need to inherit that, and the only way to do it will be to take over the Tory party. And I still think this is a logistical bridge that needs to be overcome by either Reform or Restore down the line. I know from talking with him on Twitter that Jack Hadders disagrees. He thinks that Reform have built up enough infrastructure in the past 6 or 7 years that, and their ground game is good enough that they won't need to do that. I think he's wrong. I will take you back to the Gorton and Denton by-election with the hideously cringe scenes of Alan Partridge Goodwin, you know, but Keir Starmer, remember? The Westminster wanker on the bus who lost to Hannah Spencer. Now, all these same people who backed that campaign have spent the entire week talking about Hannah Spencer's clothes, making Hannah Spencer the most viewed political figure in the country because Tory boys step on every rake. They are always reactive. They never learn. They always do the same thing again and again, fall into the enemy's frame. This is why I hate them. This is why I want them off the map. They cannot learn. This is why I am defending Hannah Spencer, because until you stop doing this shit, it's always going to be the same thing. As I said in the Fabian essay a couple of weeks back, they want you there. Like, the left want you there because you will always fall for it. You will always spend the entire week talking about Hannah Spencer's sartorial choices. Anyway, she looked lovely. So let's get back to this, okay? The notion that Rupert Lowe is a kind of undercover Tory wrecker, or that secretly Charlie and the boys and Harrison Pitt are secretly like working for the Tory party to wreck Reform. This is like some bizarre conspiracy theory these guys have. And so they always try to hit this because this is where Reform are weak. Reform look like they're the Tory party redux. And what they're saying is that actually Rupert is the Tory party redux. That's their line of attack. It's obviously not true. That said, as a logistical consideration, they will need at some point to try to take over all of that infrastructure. How that happens remains to be seen. Next point, the lack of genuine nationalism and commitment to remigration. So generally speaking, Pimlico Jacuz think that the Restore leadership, they think that Rupert and Charlie and Harrison and so on don't truly believe in hardcore nationalism, that, you know, Lowe has repeatedly said that he's not going to deport British passport holders, that, you know, they talk about rule of law, merit-based citizenship, and they are, you know, hesitant to commit to deporting, you know, legal British citizens, and therefore their remigration slogan is a dilution of the harder core ethno-nationalists that we see online, right? You know, somebody like a Steve Laws, okay? But this is clearly a dishonest attack, right? They know as anybody else that Rupert Lowe and Restore have to operate within the boundaries of British law. They have to operate within the realities of British politics, okay? And so they, what they're trying to do is they're trying to like set a purity spiral off among the base to say, well, they're not as hardcore as they're coming across. And that, you know, that there's a constructive ambiguity there because they know there's only so far they can go. Okay. It's very kind of sleazy attempt to drive the wedge. What I would say about this, you know, go back to my original endorsement of Rupert Lowe and go back to the original videos I made of him and many other people made. It was never about this policy or that policy. It was fundamentally a character judgment about, is this guy authentic and can he be trusted, as against the carnival barkers, the dishonest kind of bingo hall charlatans of Reform, who are, you know, have a long history of betraying people, of doing really weaselly moves, of cozying up to the establishment, of, you know, inexplicably tacking to the center when they didn't need to. I made a whole video about how Restore don't need to do this, how, you know, Cameronista right-wing triangulation is one of the greatest myths that twats and M25 tell themselves, and people like Ben Shapiro have been saying for the past 10 years, all nonsense, all absolute nonsense. The way an anti-establishment insurgency party wins is to turn out people who have checked out from the system, to turn out non-voters, not appealing to this like mythical median man. That median man does not exist, okay? And I've explained in previous videos why the left and Tony Blair and people like that have to do it, because the left have to lie and trick their way to, you know, essentially fool conservatives to vote for them, right? But that dynamic is asymmetrical. It doesn't exist on the right. So, yeah, I mean, this, again, is a bad faith attack, because whatever you say about the fact that there has to be a little bit of ambiguity there, or there's only so far that they're going to be able to go, okay? You know, if they're going to be allowed to run, for example, I mean, these are genuine constraints. There are incentives and constraints in the real world. Clearly, Restore aren't going to run as like Steve Laws, okay? Clearly. Nobody's saying that, though. Nobody has ever said that. So this is fundamentally a dishonest line of attack, okay? I mean, it's a dishonest line of attack to paint the party as ethno-nationalist in the first place. But what they're trying to do is to drive a wedge between like people who are pretty hardcore, you know, online and the party. That's the tactic here. Fact of the matter is that the reason that the online, like almost everybody in the quote unquote right, okay, is pretty realist first and foremost. They're realistic about the prospects of what is actually possible in parliamentary politics. Everybody, okay? Apart from a few nutters on the fringes, pretty much everybody deep down is realist about their expectations, okay? So I guess what I'm saying is this is already baked in to the calculation, okay? Nobody out there imagines, okay, that you're going to get like a kind of all-out kind of far-right restore. Okay, it's a nonsense. It's for the birds. Everybody knows this already. Okay, but they are dodging the fundamental reason that everybody in the, you know, terminally online, right, the online space. I mean, they say terminally online, okay, but as I've said before, everybody's got a phone, right? People who watch this channel are real people. How do I know that? Because I can sell out a venue and talk to those people. The Lotus Eaters can sell out. I mean, they're doing an event next week and they'll be filled with real people, real people who we've all met. Okay, I can guarantee you that if Jack Adders and friends tried to sell out a venue, they wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, but yet they call us terminally online and not vice versa. Actually, online is just normal people with a keyboard or with a phone. And the reason everybody has turned on Reform is because Nigel Farage and Reform, for whatever reason, have decided to just continually kick those people in the teeth. In America, in MAGA world, they brought people in. In fact, they brought people in who were really quite way more, you know, quote, extreme than anyone on Lotus Eaters, for example, way more. Okay, and they brought all those people in. They were part of an ecosystem. In this country, Reform, as I've said before, they want to win this election with bingo hall old women. They want to write off the quote-unquote youth vote. They want to write off vast swathes of disgruntled young men in the country. They want to write off anybody, you know, who watches a channel like this. And it's going to be a big test as to whether they're going to be able to win an election simply appealing to the I'm a celebrity, get me out of here viewer. Okay? And if you go on social media, their engagement is botted. Okay? How can you tell it's botted? All their names are just strings of random letters. And they pop up in your comments when they don't follow you. And they've got join dates from like last month. Okay? These are all classic signs of botting. There's also strong evidence that these snivelling Tory boys have multiple accounts which kind of try to boost each other. Even with all of that, they struggle to get above 100, 200, 200 likes. But even on the main Reform account, because, you know, they're a two-bit operation, but even on the main Reform kind of action on Twitter and elsewhere, when they do get up into the thousands of likes, it's clearly a lot of botting going on and a lot of fake astroturfed activity. I don't know why they bother to do that. I guess it's like trying to use social proof, trying to use like social proof and perception management to try to get people to like you. But that's not going to work because the bulk of real people have the same view as all of your favorite online influencers who are backing Rupert and not Reform. If they've heard of them, if they're aware of it, if they're politically aware. Okay. I'm not saying like your old nan who's sitting watching Brucey. She's probably never heard of Rupert Lowe yet. Okay. But what I'm talking about is people who are engaged, the base, in other words. So let's carry on. They basically say that Restore have vague, incoherent, and misleading policies, that their positions on immigration are simply an echo of what Reform want to do, that they want to deport illegal criminals, they want to create a hostile environment, they want try to make a distinction with minor issues like pepper spray or, the vape task force they talked about, and that they make misleading claims on public support for deportations, that their membership numbers are inflated and so on and so forth. So these sorts of things. Now, I do think, as I said in my last video, some of the Restore messaging could be clearer and cut through. I gave my recommendations on that. But also what they're overlooking is the fact that on many different occasions now, Restore have advanced a position or advanced a policy that Reform have then, you know, one, they call them racist, and then two, a couple of days later, they simply steal the position. They simply just write it down. Now, having met some people involved with the Reform Party and even a couple of MPs, my understanding is that they don't really have a plan. They don't really have a fleshed out policy roadmap, you know, to deconstruct the Blairite state and so on. They don't really have that. My strong suspicion is that they're waiting for somebody to write it, or they're coming up with it on the fly. Okay. So that they don't really have a plan, reform. And this is one of my fundamental issues with Jack Hadders and all of these other people who are engaging in what you might call Farage kind of 4D chess theory. Okay. Their theory is something like this, that Nigel is secretly more base than he lets on, that he's playing the super long game and actually has a ruthless plan ready to execute just for the moment when he grasps power. The trouble with that is that there is absolutely no evidence for it whatsoever. Okay, and I've met plenty of people who've been involved with the reform, including people who are fairly high up there, who know there is no plan. They're open to suggestions for plans. Some of the leadership don't talk to each other. Nigel Farage does not hold meetings. He has no strategic view of what's happening at all. Okay, these are things that have come out again and again and again. And one of the reasons that led to conflict between Lowe and Farage in the first place, because Lowe, being a business bloke, wanted to do stuff. He wanted to be active. He wanted to be a good parliamentarian. Farage just isn't interested. He's more interested in pissing about with his, you know, showbiz profile and, you know, TV slots and things like this. This is just the truth. This is why nobody has faith in Nigel. Everybody remembers what he did last time, what he did with the Brexit Party, what he did with UKIP, how he folds them up like a chair, betrays legions of people again and again and again, and boasts about the service he's done for the establishment in containing right-wing energy. You know, doing stuff like, you know, not running against Boris in 2019, for example. And he boasts about these things. Many people have had experience, direct experience of what Nigel is like. And he's always been egotistical. He's always been a one-man band. I mean, these are things that are, I mean, it's not even just received wisdom. Like this, anybody who has any knowledge of Farage knows that this is what he is. And yet all these people, these Pimlico lot, are trying to sell us. They're trying to say, well, actually, he knows what he's doing. He really is more switched on. He's secretly like a student of Enoch Powell and all this sort of shit, okay? And at the same time, vote for Suella Braverman. And Robert Jendrick has really turned a corner this time. Yeah. This is what I said to Jack Hadders on Twitter. At the bottom line is, you're trying to turn, you know, you're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. That's the base bottom line. You're trying to sell us a dud. You're trying to tell us that people like Richard Tice and Suella Braverman and Robert Jendrick, you know, they really mean business this time, when it's just the establishment again. You think we were born yesterday? And this is why they're struggling so much. This is why they're struggling so much. This is why they're trying to flail about and trying to accuse Rupert Lowe of being a secret Tory and, you know, trying to say that Restore aren't really as base as they're making out and so on, because that's the thing they're struggling with fundamentally. You know, the bottom line is, you're still trying to sell us Matt Goodwin. Yeah. And you're still trying to say, well, Matt Goodwin secretly, you know, forget about all that stuff with Chatham House, and secretly he's really like one of, like, our guy. Yeah. I got a bridge to sell you as well. Next basic point is basically a criticism of Lowe the man, that he has poor leadership qualities, that he has lots of personal shortcomings, that on X Spaces, right, with Basil the Great, that he was incoherent and lacked preparation and rambled, and that there was on this Twitter space, there was dead air, and that somebody else runs his Twitter account because, you know, Rupert Lowe is a boomer, so he's not online, and therefore, you know, he's not like savvy, okay? this coming from the people running the bingo hall, boomer, kind of weird 1984-like kind of bizarre rallies, you know, where the youngest person in the room is about 63 or something, right? This from the people who have alienated the entirety of the so-called online right, are trying to lecture Rupert Lowe and his team about social media savvy. Are you fucking kidding me? So again, this is just another attempt to try to undermine or to try to find something. Okay. I mean, I should expect Rupert Lowe to allow some, you know, younger guys who know the landscape, who understand the landscape, to run that stuff for him. That's, you could say it's good leadership because he delegated the responsibility. Anyway, let's carry on. So again, there's this discrepancy between the expectations of the base and basically like the risk of betrayal from Rupert coming down the line. They're trying to like lean on this. But look, I mean, you know, in Foundations of Rhetoric, I talk about where to attack. Like, you don't typically try to attack someone where they're strong or where you're weak and they're strong. In fact, dear old Tony talks about this in his book on leadership. Don't attack the enemy where they're strong. And yet they do this again and again and again. This is literally the exact weakness. This is the exact argument people make about Farage and reform. And all they're doing, it's on the level of, you know, it reminds me of like being in high school, like in school, right? Back in school. And, you know, somebody says, well, you're gay, you are. And the guy comes back, oh, I know you are. Oh, you're gay, I know you are. That's literally the level of the Pimlico lot when it comes to these sorts of things. Almost everything they say is, oh, well, I know you are. That's basically it. Probably because these people have an arrested development. They are terminally trapped at the moment that they were getting their heads fucking flushed down the toilet at the age of 12. They've never progressed beyond that. I'm reminded of this essay by David Foster Wallace called American Standard English, where he talks about this character, the snootlet, right, who was not able to navigate the change in idiom between the level of which you speak to the teacher and the official discourse and the level at which you speak to your peers and, you know, your kind of mates in the classroom. Every child has to learn this in school. And the snootlet, typically a bullied little nerd, right, who correctly gets his head kicked in on a daily basis, never learns this basic navigation, that you don't speak to your mates like you speak to the teacher. And that these are two different power structures. Everybody learns that at some point in their life. And I'm convinced that these people, this Pimlico Jacuzzi lot, just never learned this basic life skill, okay? Which is why all of their stuff has got this weird quality of, you know, I'm telling the teacher. It's got this weird, it's almost inescapable in everything they do and everything they write. So anyway, let's carry on here. Okay. The unrealistic infrastructure and electoral prospects, they say that, the Restore lacks experienced leadership and experts and MPs, right? Now, again, I would go back to when I reviewed the David Starkey, having somebody like Suella Braverman or Robert Jendrick or any of these other people is not a qualification, right? If you served in the 14 years of hurt, a Tory betrayal, that is not a qualification. It is a disqualification. I actually like the idea of replacing a lot of these people with non-politicians, non-career politicians. If you did PPE at Oxford or Cambridge, that should be a disqualification. Right. If you're like an Ed Miliband type career politician, it should be a disqualification of even being part of it. We need something else. These people have led the country to wreck and ruin. We don't just put them in again. So the MP part, I completely disagree with. However, it is true that they will need infrastructure. They will need ground game. They may need some like campaign manager experience. You know, I don't know if Dominic Cummings or someone like this they're going to need somebody with that sort of skill set eventually, right? If this is going to be a serious thing. And like I have maintained, and I told them this, you know, I would tell them this to their faces, you know, maybe eventually you may need the inherit the infrastructure of something like the Tory party in order to make a go of actually running. Okay. But those are bridges to cross when they come. So that is, you know, half of a fair point. Although the experience of Parliament, the experience of actually being, you know, in government and so on, I don't see that. I see that as a disqualification and reject that as a point. Then there's the talk of the vote splitting and strategic naivety. They say that some of Lowe's extreme statements in the past, which led to his expulsion from Reform. Now, this is dishonest, by the way, because they literally adopted the things that he said about 2 weeks later. I remember it. He was expelled from the party, according to Nigel, for talk of mass deportations, and then they made that their own policy. Just like when they had an almighty meltdown, when Charlie Downs talked about Christian heritage, and then lo and behold, a week later, Reform was talking about Christian heritage. So you know that this is bad faith. You know that it's a lie, okay? But they're claiming that, you know, Lowe is going to put off this mythical middle voter. I've dealt with this point in the past. And also that it's going to split the right-wing vote, okay? Now, again, we've talked about this so many times. I don't see any split in the right. I don't see anybody supporting Reform. I see thousands of comments every day on Twitter and in my own comments here, okay? I've gone out and I've met people, you know? I've talked to lots of people in the quote-unquote right, or in the, you know, in the whatever this space is, where anti-establishment, whatever, and basically nobody has a good word to say about Farage or about Reform. Nobody. They are reduced at the moment to trying to signal boost Harry Ingledieve, another snivelling, wet, pathetic Tory boy who has got more or less every single call wrong in the past 10 years. Who argued blue in the face with me about the Tory party in the past, and then made his mantra to delete the Tory party. How embarrassing for him that he's set his entire online life trying to go against yours truly, and yet now his slogan is basically delete the Tory party. Oh, the irony. But anyway, I don't see any evidence of splitting. I see the right is united behind Rupert. That's how I see it. Now, there is a question about what you're going to do with all these old codgers, right? What are you going to do with the old ones? The thing is that I believe over a sustained campaign, if they were actually able to listen to Rupert, if he would have the media behind him, if you actually had the campaign, they would come to see what we all see as well. It's just a question of exposure. And there have been many, 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 many stories of people like showing their old gran or the granddad, and them immediately becoming fans of Rupert as well. How do you think they've got 120,000? I mean, they've got a bigger membership now than the Tory party. In the space of 4 weeks, the Tory party has been there for 200 years. So it's a lie. It's a lie that it's just going to like split the right, especially if my plan is executed of Rupert actually taking over the dead husk of the Tory party and being able to just kind of like have that again. As long as people see that it's a completely new cast of characters, it's not the name, it's not the brand name of Tory party, it's the cast of characters. People can see it's the same old shit in the Reform. It doesn't matter if you call it Reform or Tory, it's the fact that it's them. We don't want it to be them, we want it to be a new group of people. It doesn't matter what you call it, You can call it the Tory Party or Restore or the fucking Banana Party. It doesn't matter. It's the different people we want to see. They don't seem to get that. Anyway, avoidance of substantive engagement and debate. Now, these are, you know, they're kind of splitting hairs, but these are basically they accuse them of dodging clear stances, like, you know, on issues like Israel or Zionism, grooming gangs, you know, historical events. These are, there's a cage about this in live interviews. And, you know, what they've done is they've tried to like show old posts that Rupert said, you know, when he was in Reform, or they've tried to, so they, again, it's dishonest because every single one of these things are things that Reform have done a thousandfold and are things that these Tory boys believe in the core of their being. Okay. But what they're trying to do is put off, you know, quote unquote, base people from them by giving those, them those associations. Could Restore be clearer on some of those things? Perhaps. But also they have to play a game too. There are going to be people out there who are like hardcore Zionists. And there are going to be people who are out there who are hardcore anti-Zionists. But ultimately, what everybody wants is the best for Britain. And what's important, as I've said before, it doesn't really matter who's voting for Restore. What matters is who's controlling it at the central level, who the vanguard is. That's the bit that needs to be gatekept, right? If, you know, if Tommy and co want to cheerlead for them for the sidelines, fine. Just don't let them in. Don't let them in the party. Don't let them in the leadership. And I think they've navigated that well. You know, the Habib was dodging a bullet like we talked about. And now look at him. He's you know, throwing his toys out the pram and trying to cause division and chaos himself. So they've navigated that well, in my view. Then dangerous or misplaced social conservatism. This is basically like trying to call Charlie Downs like a Catholic Taliban or something like this. That you know, they basically, Charlie, because of his religious faith, you know, said a few things. Like he said, oh, these are the bits of Islam I admire and so much. Anybody who's in any way, quote unquote, religious or spiritual will understand what he's talking about there. But this is an anathema to these Tory boys. They find it, and that they thought that this, you know, is something that they can hammer them on. Now, I would say it is true in a value-free way that some people are turned off by Christianity or like moralizing or like the kind of religious stuff. But on the other hand, I as I've said in previous streams and so on, it seems weird that the Alistair Campbell "we don't do God" line has become like standard wisdom now on the right. You're not allowed to defend Christianity from the right anymore. I mean, you know, that seems, I wouldn't want to concede that, even if it's not popular. I think it is important for some aspect, some voices somewhere in the right to be trying to protect the Christian heritage of the country, obviously. And I find it very odd that all of these, you know, dubious Israel fans don't like Christianity, you know, of that stripe. It's strange. But also, I will also mention that Danny Kruger, the Reform MP, is a very hardcore Christian. And his book is all about the Christian heritage of the country. And in fact, Reform's basic message is pro-Christian. So I just, again, doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to keep on hammering these couple of comments that Charlie Downs may have made in this interview or that interview. It's not really like the great weakness that they're making out. You know, that social conservatism in and of itself, you know, is a terrible vote loser, or people get put off by it, etc. There's no evidence of that. In fact, all of the British social attitude surveys and YouGov polls show that the public at large is more socially conservative than the political class as a whole, and by MPs as a whole. Okay, that data is out there. I've shared it many times. Carl Benjamin has shared it many times. And many other people have shared it many times. You can go back to David Goodhart, you know, who was advising Theresa May. Even Theresa May knew this. So I don't know, really know where they're coming from with this queasiness about social conservatism. And then finally, the negative impact on the broader right-wing movement. They say that, you know, they're splintering young talent off from reform, that the young talent and the energy that is being hoovered up by Rupert should actually be going to reform, and so on and so forth. I disagree with that. I think that this was a situation entirely of reform's own making. Okay. Everybody who's supporting Rupert, including Rupert himself, could be helping reform, and they all could be on the same page. But that is not how reform played it. Reform played it in a very different way, and they actively said, actually, we don't want you guys. Actually, you are our enemies. Actually, we're going to do whatever possible, and we're going to literally pull on a pride dress and dance and, you know, be as gay as humanly possible to avoid that for some reason. No, none of us made that happen. They did that themselves. They tried to get Rupert Lowe arrested. They basically threw out all that young talent. So, again, I just don't understand where that is coming from at all. That's me being as charitable as possible to the Pimlico Jacques lot. That is basically the substance of what they said in those 8 or 9 different articles I looked at. You know, I wasted all my time today looking through that stuff, but that's the tall and short of it. So, yeah, there it is. That's the kind of long rebuttal to them. Basically, there's nothing. Basically, after 50 minutes, there's nothing there. Most of the attacks are bad faith. Most of them are versions of, oh, well, you know, you're just as bad as us. You're just as bad as us. That's basically the tall and short of it, that Rupert and his team are just like reform. All right. So anyway, I am not convinced by any of their critiques. I see, you know, it's like, you know, what's the argument? What is the actual argument after all of that? Okay. What are they actually trying to say? That Restore Britain aren't as hardcore as, let's say, Steve Laws, therefore vote for Robert Jenrick and Suella Braverman. I mean, it's not an argument, is it? That Restore aren't quite as hardcore as they seem, therefore vote for Nigel. Not an argument. You see how it's not working. I made my position clear, right? It's Rupert or nothing. If we don't get some form of the low plan, whether it's whether Restore somehow magically gets big enough to run the 600 seats, or you get the low takeover of the Tory plan, which could still happen, I still hope happens. If we don't get that, I'll vote for anyone else over Farage, because I just don't. Keir Starmer, right? Keir Starmer didn't take us to war, and he told Donald Trump to do one. If it was Farage, we'd be in war right now. We'd be at war right now. Starmer kept us out of that war. Farage wanted to take us in. Lowe immediately said, I'm against this war as well. So I would vote for Starmer above Farage reform. See, right, Starmer has done a better job on immigration than Suella Braverman or Jendrick or any of the Boris lot. A better job on immigration, a reduction by 70%. Okay, I mean, not perfect, right? And many, many, you can read my articles, you can read all the things I've said in videos and streams about Starmer, okay? But he's done a better job than them, and he's more sensible than them. And that is widely reflected now in public opinion. But, you know, reform of Pete. So as things stand, they're on a downward trajectory, and Starmer's starting to creep back up because of his handling of the Iran war. I would vote for the Green Party above reform. Why? Because at least they make a better fist of being anti-establishment. At least I can trust them, to not step on all the rakes that Farage has done. Also, they'll probably wreck the economy, which could then lead to a reversal of the incentives and maybe an outflow of human beings from the country. Okay. That's where I am. It's root but or nothing. And I suggest that all of you also have that as your view, that you do not allow yourself to be bullied by the scare tactics that they'll try to do, because that will come. Oh, if you don't vote for Nigel, it's going to be the Greens or it's going to be Labour or something like that. I'm not going to allow myself to be bullied by that dialectic. My preference scale literally is Rupert, Starmer / Greens, Lib Dems, fucking monster raving loony party, and then Reform right down on the bottom. When I said zero seats, when I said double tap, I meant it. T1000, we can see you. We still want to cover you in liquid nitrogen, fucking blow you up into 1,000 smithereens, chuck you in the lava. That's what I want. And that's what I hope will happen. All right. Bye, everyone. See you all again. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.